All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
In the house.
My man.
This is a very special episode.
Yeah. Maybe this is the most special episode.
The most special. This is the Kayla Ketchum turned 19 the other day episode.
I mean, there's never been an episode like this before.
No, we've never had a Kayla turned 19 episode.
Yeah. And I think this will go down in the history books, is all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying.
As the best Kayla just turned 19 episodes ever.
Right. of all the Kayla just turned 19 episodes, this is going to be the one.
This is the big one. Yeah.
This is going to be the one that puts us on the map, David.
Yes.
This is the turning point for the Penn Cinema Podcast.
110,000,000%. Yeah. So congratulations to Kayla. She made it to 19.
Right.
Right? Despite the reputation of her dad.
Right.
You know?
You know, it's a group effort. I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but Marley is firmly of the opinion that she is the third parent.
Oh.
And that she frequently has to pick up the dad slack from from my questionable parenting skills.
No, it makes sense, though.
Yeah, it adds up. It checks out.
Yeah, I could have seen that.
Right. So anyway, Amy and Marley and I are very proud of how Kayla is handling herself, and she's well on her way to a spectacular 19th year. But let's get into the movie news.
Okay, let's do it.
Did you hear about this?
I did not.
Are you surprised to read the headline that I wrote?
I am very surprised.
I was shocked. The only reason why I didn't literally fall out of my chair is because for the last 13 months, it's been one "that'll never happen," and then it happens after another.
Such as Kayla turning 19.
Right, for example. And so, you know, you just think, like, I've even said it on this show before that we don't know anything, right? But I guess in the back of my mind, I secretly thought there were some things we could count on. But clearly there's not.
I mean, apparently not.
So one of the things that we thought we could count on was this perfectly timed release of the new Top Gun movie, scheduled to come out on July 2nd. Perfect summer release, 4th of July, Top Gun, summer movie, Independence Day. Like, it just couldn't have been better. Everybody's going to be vaccinated by then. The audiences came out for Godzilla and showed that they're coming out. You know, they really, like, all the indicators that you would need to believe that releasing Top Gun on July 2nd was a good idea, all of those indicators were there.
Yeah.
And yet, this week, the studio announced that Top Gun Maverick is being pushed from its July 2nd release date to the November release date formerly occupied by Mission Impossible, which obviously is now in 2022.
Right. Top Gun just feels like a summer movie. Like, I don't understand it coming out when it's cold out.
There's, absolutely, you
know, beaches and planes and hot engines and steamy people, you know.
Steamy people.
Yeah. I expect certain things. I expect to walk outside and be like, it's almost as hot as that movie was.
Mm.
But I guess not.
I was really surprised by this. To me, this falls in the category of, I think Disney's decision to put Luca online is worse. But the reason why this reminds me of that is because it's another example of, like, a decision that I just can't understand. Like, I don't mind decisions that the studios make that hurt me, but I want to be able to understand some shred of business sense behind the decision. Like, I really, truly, honestly don't know. If anything, I think this film does better in July than in November. Mm. Now, the one thing that you could argue, which I disagree with, but I could see other people saying it, is that F9, which is gathering an incredible amount of buzz, the ninth Fast and Furious movie, opens the week before that. So is Top Gun reacting to that? Is Top Gun scared of opening against F9?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Do you think that while the companies are getting more and more sure of putting a movie in the theater, they're not sure of competing?
Right.
If there's enough people to compete.
That's possible.
Yeah.
I guess that could be the angle that you could take. I think
Warner Brothers just did it to themselves.
Right. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and what you want to remind everyone what that was?
And so Mortal Kombat was supposed to come out this week, but it got pushed to next week because it was so close to the Godzilla release, which was the biggest movie in the last year and a half.
Right. So yeah, I guess that could be. And I will say, like, after I got over the shock and disappointment of learning of this decision, I wasn't too crushed from my business. Like, there's a ton of good movies coming out in late June and early to mid July. Like, there are a lot of choices, a lot of good movies going to be out. So I wouldn't go so far as to call it crowded, but with the absence of Top Gun, that's just going to breathe more life into some of these other titles.
Right.
And if we're still dealing with capacity restrictions, which I hope we're not, but maybe we will be, if we're still dealing with capacity restrictions in July, then that just means I have more screens to play F9 and Peter Rabbit and Jungle Cruise and Black Widow on July 9th. And that's the other thing, is maybe that's what they were looking at, is I was looking at F9 the week before Top Gun. Maybe they were looking at Black Widow crunching, you know, ruining Top Gun's, what would have been Top Gun's second week.
Oh, that's a good point too, yeah.
On July 9th.
That is pretty crowded.
Yeah, so as moviegoers, I guess we can be grateful that there's a lot of good movies coming. I was a little disappointed to read this news because, again, it just doesn't really make sense to me. Although now that we're talking it through, I guess that's the only logical conclusion that you could draw.
So here's an interesting one for you. Spiral, which was set to come out last year at some point. I don't know when it's supposed to come out. Do you know? Right. Sometime. It's a soft reboot to the Saw franchise. It's continuation, but also a reboot, apparently.
Did they say reboot? Because I read something
that it was reboot. It was continuation, but it was kind of like a jumping in point for people who have never seen it.
Right. What I read was they were, again, just as I forget where I read this, but the one I happened to read was, it's not a prequel or a sequel. It takes place in the same universe, the same time frame. So I wouldn't even call it a reboot. I would just say it's another movie from that franchise. And I think you're exactly right. It's another entry point for new audiences to come in and get into this franchise.
Right. And it's the ninth movie in the franchise. It hasn't seen a release yet, and they just greenlit Saw 10, as a continuation/sequel to Spiral.
Wow.
So they've got faith in the movie.
That's pretty cool. I like that. I like when franchises I love the idea, and I guess it's kind of like you're the term, like, world building, like, a little bit. Like, yeah. I love the idea that Spiral is fleshing out that world a little bit. You know, it's sort of adding a new dimension or an additional element to that environment. And then what sounds like it's cool for Saw 10 is that maybe they're going to bring that new sort of world, that new part of the world, and connect it with this other part of the world and see how that goes.
Yeah, that's true. It could be really cool.
And this is the one with Chris Rock, right?
Yeah.
And he played, I mean, as far as what I've read, and I think Spiral comes out this summer, like in the next month or two.
Okay.
And yeah, it does. And from what I've read, like, he plays it like 100% straight.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. This is like, this is not his comical Chris Rock. This is serious role Chris Rock.
Which is going to be a little bit hard to get over, but I think after a few minutes of watching the movie, you just sort of settle in and forget who is, you know. But he's got such a distinct voice, and his voice is so distinctly comical. It could be awkward.
Could be, but I bet it won't be.
Speaking of awkward.
Oh, whoa.
There's a new Star Trek movie coming out.
You're right, that is awkward.
A new Star Trek movie coming out June of 23.
Yeah, but here's the catch to this. We don't know anything about it. Is it the Quentin Tarantino movie? Is it based in the Kelvin universe, which is the new movies? Is it going to be based from the television side of things? I mean, because the television shows are like really popping right now. So it's anyone's game. You never know.
Do you care to confirm or deny your involvement in the project?
I can't say. I can't confirm nor deny that my hand is in the pot for Star Trek's new upcoming film.
Is that a thing, hand in the pot? I don't think.
You never put your hand in the pot?
I think it's like that line from Princess Bride. Like, I don't think that means what you think it means.
Are you ever stirring? How do you stir the pot? You don't put your hand in and...
Yeah, you stir the pot. Or there's a chef and too many cooks in the kitchen or something.
Too many cooks will spoil the broth. But
the broth, brah.
The broth, brah. But when I gotta stir a pot, I just full on just.
You just stick your mitts right in there and
spin it around.
It's interesting because I can see your kitchen in the background of this show.
Yeah.
And I just now realized, like, that explains why there's no utensils on your stovetop.
Right, yeah.
Most people have, like, a spoon or a stick,
yeah,
you know, something to stir the pot with, but you just put your hand right in the pot and you stir that shit right up.
Nothing feels as good as some, like, mac and cheese just running through the fingers.
Oh, my God. I am so tactile defensive. That just makes my skin crawl.
How many
that
people image. Just turned the show off? Nope.
Right. Not gonna, oh, my yeah. God. I'm out. Okay, look. So...
Okay, so Black Widow was supposed to come out last year. Then it was supposed to come out last year again. And then last year again. And then this year twice now. Right. But it's finally coming out in what? May? June?
No, July 9th.
July.
And can we just pause real quick before you get to the headline here? Black Widow and Mortal Kombat, both, and those are both, no, one's Disney and one's Warner Brothers. But I thought this was really interesting. Just this week, we received new posters for both of those titles that have the now corrected dates on them.
Wow.
So it's really interesting. Like, if you want to collect posters, like, collect the Black Widow poster with all the different release dates on there. You have, like, a whole collection. And now there's one that says July 9th, and Mortal Kombat has one that says April 23rd.
No longer stars May Zozo.
Right. May Zozo is out. All right. So anyway, what's interesting, the reason why we're talking about Black Widow right now is because this movie was really close to release any number of times. And yet, you and I never noticed it. It was never rated. It didn't have a rating.
Right. It finally got a rating, which is a surprising to no one, PG-13. Just like most of the Marvel movies. I mean, that's not the story. The story is the fact that this movie has almost been in front of our faces however many times, and they didn't rate it up until now.
Right. I should put that on my list of things to learn about. Like, I don't really understand the rating process. I mean, I do in the most fundamental sense, but I don't really understand the timing. Like, a lot of times we get movies, we get information about movies from studios that include all kinds of very specific information about the film, but then there's no rating yet. So, you know, it's interesting to me, like, And then other times we get movie information like a year in advance. Well, that's exaggerating, but you know, months in advance, and it has a rating. So I don't know. I don't know what the strategy is there. I'm sure there's somebody in each studio whose job it is to navigate. Maybe it's the director, you know, whose job is to navigate the ratings game. Speaking of ratings, Guardians of the Galaxy Trace. That's fancy for, that's French for three. Right?
Yeah.
Do you know French?
I do. I mean.
What's French for three?
Un, deux, trois.
Okay. Guardians of the Galaxy 3 starts filming.
Later this year, hopefully.
This year.
Which is great because you know, James Gunn's been wrapped up in the Suicide Squad. And he kept saying, you know, nothing until this is done. And now Suicide Squad's going to be out here before we know it. And he's like, hey, look, guess what? I am getting on it.
I have a big announcement to make.
Okay.
I think this is the right time to make the announcement.
Ooh.
I think I just put James Gunn on my list of favorite directors.
Not surprised.
Like, I never think about him. Like, when people ask me my favorite directors, I'm always like, oh, Christopher Nolan, Tarantino, James Cameron, blah, 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 all the obvious ones. But I don't, like, everything he makes I seem to like. I mean, the first Guardians of the Galaxy, did he do Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was amazing.
What about
that movie was so much fun.
Well, riddle me this. What about Taika Waititi? Is he up there now with you? Because everything he seems to do is pretty good. Right?
Remind me some of his non-superhero movies.
The most recent one would have been Jojo Rabbit.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got nothing bad to say about him, but...
This is where you come out where you hate Australians, isn't it?
Right.
Or New Zealanders or whatever he is.
Right. What's the matter, David? Can't keep him straight. Boy, look who walked right into that mess. Got his hands full of corn chowder and his foot in his mouth. Got his hand full of corn chowder and his foot in his mouth.
Yeah.
The David Moulton story.
The story. Oh, my God. All right. Okay, look. It's been a long time since we've had Dune news. And guess what? We got some Dune news.
Oh, thank God.
I don't know what this means because it was a headline that I read that had zero story to go with it. And it's, due to the success of Godzilla vs. Kong, Warner Brothers now debating day and date release for Dune. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that they're not going to do the day and date release? Or that they are?
Right. And which part, if they don't do it, which part are they not doing?
Right. Because I know that there was, I can't remember enough of this, so... Unfortunately, but there was a big thing about Denis Villeneuve. He did not want it to be day and date. He didn't want to go straight to streaming, and he didn't think the day and date release would do it justice.
Right.
He thought it needed to be in film in the cinemas.
And correctly so.
To make money. And we agreed specifically because if for nothing else, the subject matter and like the ability to get people to see it would be a lot better in the theater than at home. But I don't know which way this is going.
Well, the problem with the headline is it doesn't say due to the theatrical success of Godzilla vs. Kong, Warner Brothers is now debating day and date release of Dune.
Yeah.
And it also does not say due to the streaming success of Godzilla vs. Kong, Warner Brothers is now debating. Granted, I'm completely biased, and I'm not trying to act like I'm not biased, but in my travel, maybe I should just ask you, in your travels,
mm-hmm.
have you come across anybody who has watched Godzilla vs. Kong at home?
No. Honestly, no. There was people who, like, I thought would because, you know, fresh families, you know, children and everything. And they're just like, nah, just if I wasn't going to see it in the theater, I wasn't going to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really interesting to me that because that's what I'm experiencing. I'm, you know, seeing the same thing. And obviously, like I said, I'm biased because people, it's funny. So, like, a little sidebar here. I don't care how you watch your damn movies.
Hold on. Let me look at 115 hours of you talking about how much you care about
how... People are afraid to admit to me that, oh, I watch it at home. I'm sorry. No, I'm not saying all those 115 hours that you're trying to throw in my face, Chatterboy. Those are 115 hours of me expressing a strong passion about how movies should be watched on the aggregate. For an actual person, like on an individual level, I don't care. You know, if Joe Blow wants to watch a movie at home, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care. You do you. You know, I'm just saying the better way to do it is at the theater. Like, you're clearly a better person if you watch movies at the theater.
Clearly.
But if you don't want to be a better person, if you want to just be a schmo,
you
know, that's fine too. I don't care. Mm-hmm. It's like people who are like slobs. Like, I don't take offense if you go to the grocery store in your jammies. I'm just saying, don't do it.
Yeah. You could be going to the grocery store in a three-piece suit. That's basically, you know.
That's how I do it.
Yeah.
And my three-piece suit, and instead of carrying a grocery bag, I used the briefcase that I borrowed from you. Even though the handle is all sticky from the corn chowder.
What do you think I have in there? It's more corn chowder.
Snacks.
It's my snacks.
Oh my God, that's too good. I also need another sidebar. This is way off topic, but as long as we're talking about soup, everybody who knows my wife, Amy, if you don't know, you need to know that she can make a better soup than anybody in this entire world.
What?
And today, as we speak, I just finished a gigantic bowl of her current, most recent masterpiece of lentil soup, and it is to die for. So good.
All I'm saying, Amy, is I've been in this world how long, and I've never tried it. So.
Oh, snap.
Any of them. Any flavor. Oh.
Okay.
Any flavor, Amy's soup.
I just realized I have to add a note to our listeners because we got a comment from Amy.
Oh yeah, my gosh. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, while he's writing this in our notes here, let's go ahead and move on to new trailers this week. There's actually a decent amount. I saw you added. Looks like two here while I was working on another. Another part of our notes, and I didn't get to those, but we'll start off with what is honestly one of my contenders. It isn't my trailer of the week, but the idea and the premise of this movie makes it a contender for trailer of the week for me. It seems...
Ascendant?
Yeah, The Ascendant. Or Ascendant.
Oh, right, yeah. Ascendant.
Yeah.
Tell us about it, because I have an opinion about it.
Okay. The movie itself... doesn't look high grade, and the idea isn't that crazy, but I liked the idea. So the idea is this woman gets in a high rise elevator, and it starts Tower of Terroring her on her, like going down to the point where she floats and then stopping, so she slams in the ground, and then a thing comes on, and a gangster's like, "Look, your dad was working for us, and he's no more useful, but we know that you have the secrets that we need, and we need you to, you know, we're going to keep doing this. We're going to basically turn this into a blender with you inside and just smash you up and down."
And to this point in the trailer, the bad guy is total cliche, like Russian, German, East European accent, you know, and the girl's trapped in the elevator and she tries to kick the window out. And to this point in the trailer, you're watching it thinking like, ugh.
Yeah.
So we've seen this movie before, so lame.
Right.
And then
the reveal is that the girl has superpowers of some sort, and that her father had been keeping the fact that she had, whether he genetically modified her or what, you know, they don't really, you know, something happened. She has powers and she didn't know she had powers. I mean, the obvious thing is the guy's going to provoke her to start using her powers, and then she's going to be too powerful to control. I mean, that seems pretty apparent. But the idea of having someone, like forcing the activation of a superpower in this way, like a traumatic event to get it, I thought the idea behind this is very interesting.
Yeah, I'll share that same opinion and modify it just a little bit to say the idea behind this is interesting. The trailer itself was really interesting to me because I can't remember before watching a trailer that was so bad that at some point turned interesting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We've had bad trailers, we've had great trailers, you know, blah, blah, blah. But this one really, like, I was watching it, like, resisting the urge to scroll through, and I'm glad I didn't I'm glad I did resist the urge because it turned out to be an interesting premise and, you know, probably a decent movie. I think the movie came out already.
Oh, really? Okay.
The trailer I watched said something about movies available April 8th.
Oh, yeah. I guess it was 3 days ago.
I mean, on April 8th, Kayla was well into her 19th year.
That was forever ago.
Yeah. She was almost 20 by then.
Yeah.
Now, the next title, you know, David, you are a dedicated podcaster.
One would say.
And, I mean, even though you don't get paid, I still think it was fair to refer to you as a professional. You're always well prepared. You do it right. You take care of all the nitty gritty details. But this week, I took it up just a notch.
Whoa!
Because that's what we do. We challenge each other. We try to raise the bar and get the best out of each other. So here's what I did: a lesser podcast host. If there was a movie called The Djinn, how do you say that?
The Djinn.
If there was a movie called The Djinn that came out, like this new one that's about to come out in 2021, a lesser podcaster would watch the trailer and comment on it.
Right.
But being that I challenge us to take it to the higher level, what I did was I went and watched the entire trailer for a movie by the same name that came out in 2017.
But did you watch the one from 2021?
What I won't do for this show, I watched both of them, my friend.
That's a whole 4 minutes of your time.
That's what I'm saying. And as we know, we only have so many minutes in the day.
Oh, my word.
All right. So this movie, The Djinn opens in 2021, although I wasn't clear on exactly when. But this is a really interesting movie from, I think it was IFC. I couldn't remember if it was IFC Films or IFC Midnight. It's a horror movie that looked really interesting. And I actually Googled the word djinn, which is spelled D-J-I-N-N. And sidebar, I was thinking maybe this was a movie about a bed and breakfast that only served
dinner?
DJs. I was thinking that would be a really funny premise for like a good comedy to DJ in. So I Googled djinn and found out, in fact, it is not a bed and breakfast for disc jockeys. And what it is actually a mythical sort of creature that dates back pre-Islamic. It's in mythology from pre-Islamic and Islamic mythology. So having that floating around in the back of my mind made this trailer even that much more interesting. This trailer looks great and also terrifying at the same time, but I will definitely watch this movie when it comes out.
Yeah. Now, so the confusion here, the thing that they don't really go into in the trailer, which is actually quite good. I really liked – I don't really like horror, but I liked what they were doing in this. The idea is – now, a djinn is more commonly known as a genie.
Ah.
And
– is it like a bad genie? Is that the idea? Generally,
it's just a genie. In general – like mythological things, a djinn will grant wishes. Sometimes they're not nice, sometimes they're not good. And if you read the description of the film that I found, it said that the boy tries to summon the djinn thinking that it's going to be a genie, but the Islamic term for djinn just is a mythological evil creature. So it's not the type of djinn that you know common knowledge would bring you to, and more the atypical horror creature. So
in other words, he tried to summon a ghost that would grant him wishes, a genie that would grant him wishes, and instead he got some evil mythological guy tormenting him.
Yeah, and he's got to make it through the night. So
been there.
I know, right?
Right?
Talk about Amy's soup, right? I don't know what I'm saying. All right. So the next movie is my trailer of the week.
Same.
Yeah, and it's Street Gang. And now before you go flying your colors, because I know you're ready to show what side you're on, this isn't about a street gang war. The subtitle of this movie is How We Made It to Sesame Street. And it's about the creation of Sesame Street and what it meant at the time and how progressive it was and how it kind of showed these progressive viewpoints to children in a way that made them see very, very normal, specifically racism and counteracting that and many other things about how it got made and how it changed television for the better. I am 158% into seeing this movie.
I'm 159%, so what's up?
Oh, my gosh.
Who's more progressive now, huh? Right?
Apparently
See?
You.
There you go. What's up?
Someone called
me. No, I totally agree. This reminded me of some of the movies that came out in the last couple of years about Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's hard to describe why this looked better. This looked like a better movie. It looked like more fun. Maybe it's because this the gang behind Sesame Street – maybe they had more fun making it than Mr. Rogers did, but they looked like – this trailer, I didn't have time to watch it a second time, but I could have watched it over and over. It was the kind of sort of documentary where you wish you were in it.
Yeah.
It made you wish you happened to be like involved in Sesame Street back then, because it just looked like they were just killing it. And yeah, so the movie's called Street Gang. It's about the early days of Sesame Street, and it's a documentary, right? I mean, it's similar to Mr. Rogers, and I think it looks amazing. This is easily my trailer of the week.
Now get this: it was produced by a company called it's a Chicken Soup for the Soul production. So just when you thought they were done with books, Penn,
right?
They're coming. They were like, we couldn't get to Penn before because it was written, but now.
Right.
We know how to get it in. But let me bring another movie to your attention here on our list that is also a Chicken Soup for the Soul movie that seems really weird that it's a Chicken Soup for the Soul movie, and it's called Trigger Point.
I saw that. I saw that they were both from Chicken Soup, and it boggles my mind. And tell us about Trigger Point and why it's so weird that it's from the same group.
Yeah. So on one hand, we have Street Gang, which is a documentary about one of the best shows to ever grace television.
PBS, Family, Kids, etc.
Yeah. The other movie is called Trigger Point, which is about an ex-military man who was on a secret team who his teammates are all getting killed, and he lives in basically a hidden forest, and the government's trying to get at him, so it's him versus the government shooting people and killing people all over the place.
It's very similar to the John Wick / nobody routine where the guy's in hiding and then he has to come back out of hiding and do his thing. And it looks incredibly – I mean, we'll talk about the trailer itself, but it looks violent. There does not appear to be any kind of – like when I saw that it was from Chicken Soup for the Soul, I was like, oh, there's going to be some redemption or some angle to it. I mean, unless they're completely hiding that and saving that for they're going to trick you into coming – I thought that was wild. This group that we've never heard of before called Chicken Soup for the Soul Productions puts out a movie called Street Gang about the early days of Sesame Street, a movie which seems to be entirely consistent with the name Chicken Soup for the Soul. Right.
Right. Yep.
And then another movie called Trigger Point, which appears to be totally inconsistent.
Yeah.
And they both come out on the same day that I learn about the existence of this company. It's like when you learn a new word and then all of a sudden you hear it all over the place.
Now the Trigger Point movie was by so-and-so and then in small print, a Chicken Soup for the Soul
company.
Or whatever. So it's one of their subsidiaries to do things that don't match their bigger name.
But then why do they put their bigger name on it?
It's in small print. How many people read the small print? They didn't even think you read it all before, remember? That's when they started making movies.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
Those Who Wish Me Dead stars Angelina Jolie. And what was interesting, this movie looks like, we'll talk about the trailer in a second. It looked like okay. But what has me a little bit more excited about it is that it's directed by Taylor Sheridan, and I knew that I liked that director, but I couldn't remember why. This is the guy who directed Hell or High Water and Sicario, two movies which I thought were really great, really well done, interesting storyline. They moved along. So Those Who Wish Me Dead, it's hard to describe, but it looks like Angelina Jolie plays what, like a forest firefighter?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Like there are people who in bigger wooded areas, they spend all summer as a fire watch and they live and they go to those towers and they spend the whole summer living in those towers. A lot of times writers will do it because they can sit up there and just write the whole time. They just have to watch for smoke. And recently it's been one of those things that has come to light as being a really fantastical thing to do. It's been the subject of a couple video games. Mm. So I'm not surprised that this is now some sort of a movie. I, however, thought this looked a little blasé. Like maybe it'll surprise me,
yeah.
But it just wasn't really.
Go ahead.
The thing that enticed me more than Angelina Jolie and the fire thing was the guy from Game of Thrones who played Littlefinger is playing the villain. That made me more enticed to see the movie than anything else.
Yeah, I had a similar reaction, except instead of that guy, I would substitute the director, Taylor Sheridan. Yeah. The trailer looks okay. Doesn't look awesome, but it comes out in May. And after you've seen Black Widow 3 or 4 times, then this might get an audience.
Yeah.
The last movie of the week or a trailer is called The Virtuoso. Right. Did we review this already?
It doesn't sound familiar to me, and I didn't watch the trailer, so.
Yeah, so The Virtuoso is a very run-of-the-mill action movie that you've already seen 3 or 4 times. It's going to be released on day and date streaming the same day as it comes out in theaters, which is, I think, May 14th or something like that. We're going to play it at Penn Cinema. We're only going to play it because with Black Widow moving off the May date, May is a little bit light. What I thought was cool about it, my Lancaster peeps will, we always keep our eyes out for movie stars that are wearing Hamilton watches whenever Hamilton gets a close-up, a cameo. We always take good note of that. So anyway, the last trailer is The Virtuoso. My recommendation to people is if you feel like it, watch it. I'm not telling you that it's worth watching. I think this is in the category easily of if you're that bored and you need a movie, it's probably okay. But nobody's going to plan to see this movie.
I'm looking at the pictures online, and Anthony Hopkins in his shades. So ridiculous.
Yeah. They try to make him a bad guy. And who's the girl? Abby Cornish, I think.
Yeah.
They try to make Anthony Hopkins a bad guy. He looks like Neo from The Matrix.
Yeah.
He's like wearing these Matrix sunglasses, and you hit the perfect word. He looks ridiculous.
Yeah. Anson Mount is in it as well, who I've grown to really love from Star Trek. But yeah, I just looking at these photos, I'm already like, I don't know if I need to watch that trailer. So, all right, well, let's move into our movie review because we have something even better to get to after that. So this week we're reviewing the movie Voyagers. Penn, I understand that you were running from the police all week. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah, that's what happened.
You were fastly running, calling it some sort of a marathon or whatever. It's like,
Here's what happened. What happened was, somebody snitched me out, and I was in the grocery store doing my usual routine of sliding Penn Cinema Podcast index cards into cereal boxes, taking the prizes out and replacing them with index cards. And apparently somebody took offense and called the popo, and one thing led to another, and we had a little showdown there on the front porch of Stauffer's. And luckily I was able to make a fast getaway. What I did was I jumped into the back of one of those Amish buggies that was parked out in front of Stauffer's.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I just sat there looking out the back window, and the cops were like out back behind it, looking every direction, trying, where you go? He was just here, So eventually they gave up, and I was able to ride home with my buddy Jakey.
Okay, Well, speaking to that, I want to call up my boy, the Rye Guy, because I saw Ryan this weekend, and it's been a long time. It's been since pandemic time since I've seen him. And he said, we need to hang out more. But at the same time, I feel like I hang out with you all the time because I listen to the podcast.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
And I was like, no way. But then he revealed later, he doesn't always listen to the end. Because he's like, if I haven't seen the movie and I don't want to get spoiled or anything. And I was like, but what? You miss all the segments after the review. It's usually not that long. And he's like, well, yeah, this time was the first time I heard you giving out how to tell people. That's the best part of the show. You got to make it to the end. So he now knows.
Gotta all right. So what David was trying to get at before he made me confess my run-in with the law this weekend is that I did not see the movie Yo-Yo-Jers. And he did. So we're going to let him handle Yo-Yo-Jers.
I didn't even see it, did that. Oh my God. I put Yo-Yo-Jers instead of Voyagers in the notes.
Which might be based on what I've heard about this movie over the weekend. If they had changed the title to Yo-Yo-Jers, it might have vastly improved the movie.
Oh my God. Okay, so when I go in to see this movie, I see Encyclopedia Brown in the hallway and he said, what are you seeing? And I said, Voyagers. Or as more commonly known, Kids Be Horny. And I was surprised that that's not necessarily, I was expecting it just to be like gratuitous or whatever, but it really is Lord of the Flies in space to the point where it's boring, because if you're familiar with Lord of the Flies, whether you've read it or watched some iteration of it as a movie, it's just,
that was a book.
Yes. Yeah. Surprised. Yeah. But the basic premise is, someone told me the problem is that I always look to the best of people, which is why I don't like this story in general, because the idea of Lord of the Flies or Voyagers is that without any type of outside guidance or without society, that humanity falls to its basest instinct of evil. And it's only that through society that we overcome these evil tendencies and choose to be better people. And
that's, I don't buy that.
Yeah, that's the basic premise. And it was like, and so it's these kids on the spaceship, and it's like, well, they're kind of on a substance to keep them less horny and less like aggressive and more docile. And the moment they go off of these drugs, they become horrible, aggressive, selfish people instantly. Like, they don't retain any of who they were, basically. I honestly, this movie was about an hour too long, and there were many times I looked at my phone and thought, I gotta be getting close to the end, and literally it had only been 2 minutes since the last time I looked at my phone. So,
I forget what movie, this story is gonna lack because I can't remember what movie it was, but there's a famous story about one of my best friends, Bob Fisher. He's watching a movie with his two brothers. I forget what movie it was. This would be back in the 90s, early 90s. And apparently they hated it. And it just dragged on and on. And they're in the theater watching this movie. And all of a sudden his brother Mike goes, end it! I think of that every time I'm in a movie like what you just described, where you're checking your watch and it's only been two more minutes and you're like, what am I even doing here? Yeah.
Well, when you
all told right, so,
me, yeah, sorry. No, when you told no, me you go weren't going to see Yo-Yo-Jers, no sweat, whatever. But my big thing is I was going to ask how many times you got up and got coffee during Yo-Yo-Jers, but yeah, you're better off not having seen it. In place of a riveting long form review, we're doing another installation of Guess the Movie from Its Reviews. Now this is a special one. Now this is straight up ripped from Mr. Sunday Movie. So if you've seen theirs, you already know the answer. Just I pulled it all from there. Now it's which Justice League is this horrible burn review from? Is it the Justice Week or the Snyder Friends?
Okay.
Right? Okay. Now I got a bunch here, so we'll try and burn through them pretty quick. We'll start off easy. Waylon says, at least being 4'3 means I have to look at this movie less.
That's the review of Snyderverse.
Snyderverse, yeah. Snyder right. Friends, yeah.
Michael Snyder Friends.
Okay. Now, before we keep going, everyone, there's language here, so, you know, if it's going to bother you, maybe skip a little ahead. But so, okay. Michael writes, get absolutely fucked.
That's got to be the Snyderverse again.
Nah, man. It's the Justice League.
Justice League.
Yeah. All right. Jim Higgs writes in, Steppenwolf is not a cutie.
Justice League.
Yeah. Hey, you did it. All right. Tundra OW. Dog shit on wheels. Only watch as a means to get mentally destroyed with your friends.
That's got to be Snyderverse.
Whoa! You did it again. Max Raptor. There is no point to this actually existing. Change my mind.
Joss Whedon.
You're on a roll. All right. Walt says, a series of images played in quick succession, creating the illusion of motion.
Joss Whedon.
No. It's the Snyderverse.
Okay.
Now, Connor.
Not our Connor. This is not Connor, not Connor.
Not Connor, not Connor.
Okay.
It's 2 a.m. What am I doing?
That has to be Snyderverse, because he started it at like 10 p.m.
You would think, but this is the Justice League, so he must have been watching it like midnight television.
He must have gone to bed at like 1, and he couldn't sleep, and he puts on Justice League, and now he's an hour into it, and he's like, what am I doing? Yeah.
All right, so Ben's friend says, way too much talking about cubes. Absolute dog shit.
Justice League.
It's the Snyderverse. Here's a great one from Graham Dunn. Fuck every single person who ever tried to convince me that this movie was anything more or less than the dumbest dog shit ever.
That's Justice League.
That's the Snyderverse.
Really?
Yeah.
Did I tell you we had a party at Ephrata and the guys were like passionately debating? Yeah. And there was a guy in the lobby who was standing up, and I give him credit for doing so. He was standing up to defend, hard defense of Justice League, the Justice League.
Wow.
Yeah. And then he went on some kind of rant about the Snyderverse. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's fine. No, the grid wrote in, this movie literally made me feel empty.
Snyderverse.
Justice League, man.
Isn't it interesting how many of those, like, because you could see that going both ways.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Because some of the ones that I guessed correctly, I felt like was obvious.
Yeah, so yeah.
But on that one, I felt like I could understand how somebody would say that either way.
Right, yeah. Now, I have a new, Steph X Stefani writes, I have a newfound appreciation for the Marvel movies after this. I feel like I've been hating on them too much because WTF is this?
I mean, I want to say Justice League because she's comparing it right away to Marvel.
It's the Snyderverse, man.
But maybe, yeah, see, I don't know.
Okay, Dylan's decision says, I can tell they had more money for this one.
Okay, Snyderverse, right?
No, that's High School Musical 2. Gotcha!
Perfect.
All right, one last one here from Eleonora. My boyfriend made me watch this last night, and today I don't have a boyfriend anymore.
Oh, shit. Ugh. I'd have to say Justice League.
It's the Snyderverse, man. It's 4 hours. I wonder what point of 4 hours she was just like, this relationship's not going to work out. I poured in. I put 3 years into this, but these 4 hours have been the worst 4 hours that I've ever lived, and I never will, like, get over this.
Is it that it was the worst 4 hours she ever had, or was it that she can't be with someone who wants her to watch this crap? You know
that's,
what I mean?
Yeah, that's true, too. That's
the true. Fact that you want to watch this movie and that you've asked somebody who you care about to watch this movie, what does that say about you?
Yeah. Well, okay, look, I did have one more. Ignacio writes, you get what you deserve.
I don't know. I give up.
Justice League.
It was more fun when there was five or six or seven or eight to choose from.
Yeah, no, we'll do that. We'll do that next time. I just wanted to rag on the Justice League.
Have you ever been to the Thai restaurant in Ephrata called Three Sisters Park?
I have not.
It's so good. It's amazing. It's one of pretty much my new favorite restaurant, even though I've been going there for a couple of years. But I've been pretty much obsessed with it recently. And I was in there the other day waiting. I got there a couple minutes too early to pick up my takeout. And there was a table of kids. Well, I shouldn't call them kids. They were like in their like early 20s. And they were having a passionate debate about Zack Snyder and Justice League. And I wanted so bad, there was five of them, and I wanted so badly to just like pull up a chair and be like, what do you think? Tell me more. But once again, I resisted the urge because of my obsession with social norms and etiquette.
Spoken like a man who will never milk a cow.
Right. Yes, that's exactly the kind of man that I am.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to listeners' notes, questions, answers, and feelings.
So I'll start off with one that came. This one hits a little close to home.
Yeah.
And Amy writes in, and this is not just any Amy. This is my wife.
Whoa.
Of many, many years.
Yeah.
She shouts across the house, I'm the one who switched to toilet paper.
Which, listening to the show, huh?
That's what I'm saying. That was the big news. It was like, oh my God, that's amazing. I can't even believe it. Nothing has made me happier than to find out that Amy listened to the show.
Oh man. Hey, Frodo wrote in. She just wanted to say, hey, Godzillaverse, congratulations. Or I'm sorry, I didn't say that. Godzillaverse, congratulations on the Daily Show spot.
That's like a play on words.
Yeah, which I absolutely loved and dubbed her Empress of the Pun.
Empress of the Pun, yes. That was amazing.
Yeah. Also this week, we got emails from several people, including Diamond Eye Derek and Encyclopedia Brown, with IMDb links to Josie and the Pussycats, the video, the movie that one Pencil Ketchumum said was never made. And that, man, they should make a Josie and the Pussycats movie.
Okay. All of you people who have the type of computer that has the internet on it and know how to type imdb.com, like, okay, how about everybody just slow their roll and get over themselves? Because I also want to remember, I think, yes, I'm going to add this to the list. Gibble also wrote in, and everybody's having all kinds of good fun mocking me for just being myself. For just being who I am. And normally I'm cool with that. Normally it's like, all right, that's cool. I'm down with that. But let me tell you, I because everybody looked up IMDb and freaking Googled Josie and the Pussycats and was so quick to send in links.
They were like rocket firing in.
Right. But let me just tell you, they may have made this to me. What I was trying to say about Josie and the Pussycats is kind of similar to Batman.
Yeah.
No, I'm gonna stick with it.
Okay,
I'm gonna own this and all stick right. with it. What I mean by that, when did The Dark Knight come out? Was that 2010 or 2008, something like that?
Yeah.
Maybe it was even 06. Anyway, when The Dark Knight came out, our only experience with Batman was, do we care to go down the list? Michael Keaton, Val Kilmer, you know, it's one shitty Batman after another. Right?
Yeah.
Have you looked?
I just Googled it. Dark Knight came out in 2008, but the first movie was Batman Begins. Is that what you're referring to?
That's what I'm referring to. Batman Begins was what, 06?
I believe so. I'll look it up.
Yeah, because I think Batman Begins came out while we were building the theater.
05.
It came out in 05, and I scored free tickets to see it by calling in and saying that Heath Ledger got nominated for the Oscar, and I won tickets to see it at Manor.
Wow.
Which I promptly placed in the bathroom next to the rolled over toilet paper the wrong way so I could use it as best seen fit. Now listen, are you following my analogy yet with Josie and the Pussycats? I'm not saying that there has never been a Josie and the Pussycats movie. What I'm saying is there have been so many good movies in the last, like, let's say 10 years, let's just broaden it, 14 years that Penn Cinema has been open. There have been lots of shitty franchises that really talented, modern, good filmmakers have turned around and made into good movies.
Okay, all right.
And I'm just saying, you put Christopher Nolan in charge of Josie and the Pussycats, that movie's going to kick ass. Or my new favorite director, James Gunn. You tell me that James Gunn, with Mae Zozo starring in the lead role as Josie, wouldn't kick some ass with Josie and the Pussycats.
With Chloe Grace Moretz as a backup. Shut the front door.
Well, there's many Pussycats, so there's not just Josie. You got to cast Josie and the other ones.
Yeah, no, Chloe Grace Moretz plays all the other ones. Like, like Norbit style. Eddie Murphy.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Well, anyway, thank you for writing in.
Really?
Thank you.
You just went on and on about how not thankful you were. So, really? All right. So, what are we watching? What are we reading? What are we doing this week?
You skipped over the mystery gobble.
Oh, well, the mystery gobble, I thought you got it covered. Well, he basically said, we had our funniest joke ever.
And I thought to myself, oh, this is really great. We did something really funny and made Scott laugh. And, you know, he said something about thanks for the laughs and it's so entertaining and all this stuff. And I thought, this is really great. We're putting on this great podcast. I feel really good about myself for doing it. And this is really affirming, you know. And, you know, I just for a split passing second, felt good about myself. I felt validated. Like I had a place in the world, some purpose to my life.
That was your first mistake.
But then I read on.
And he said, when Penn said, I'm embarrassed on my own show, and I said something along the lines, isn't that every week? And he thought that was hilarious.
Wait, why was I embarrassed? Because I read the article about Bob Odenkirk, and I didn't realize that it was a joke.
Oh, ever, that was so great.
Remember before you and Pirate Dave taught me about fake trailers? I used to talk about these great trailers I watched, and then it would turn out they were fake.
Oh gosh,
that was awesome. Those were the good old days. Back at you know what, David? That was back when I was just a kid.
When you were so innocent.
Yeah, I was just a pup.
Yeah, yeah.
That was hundreds of episodes ago.
It really was. So, all right. So what are you watching? What are you reading? What are you doing this week? What did you get up to?
What did you write that in my list?
I did.
Nothing. I had a busy week, and it was capped off by an amazing 3-day triathlon camp, which was punctuated at the end of each day by driving up to Ephrata and working a shift at the movie theater. Ooh. And it was really funny because I was biking and running and swimming so hard because everybody was in town and, you know, we were really testing ourselves and really pushing our limits. But then, you know, I could barely walk because I was so tired and my legs were so sore. So I'm like in Ephrata, literally like sitting on a stool, like until you told me what you wanted and you were ready to be served, I was not getting up. So that's how that went. That was my day.
Wow. Wow.
No, it was great. But I had a really busy week. I had a lot going on at work, I don't know if anybody who listens to the show is following the SVO grant drama. I'm not going to get into it. We don't need to get into it, but that created a very busy work week for me preparing for that and then navigating the chaos that ensued afterwards. It was a total shit show from start to finish. It's still playing out as we speak. But anyway, so I did. I had a crazy busy week. I had no time, and I did not. I really, truly did not watch anything interesting. I watched, like, you know, what I watched what you watch when you're just flipping the channels. You know, I watched a little Seinfeld. I watched a little Office. We watched Veep. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I had a pretty boring week as well. I watched a lot of Stargate SG-1. I'm almost done with the series. Nothing too exciting there, except for I had one of those moments. I texted my friends and I said, you ever have those moments where you're rewatching a show and all of a sudden a cast member on the show, you're like, man, how come I didn't realize how attractive that person was before? And then you realize that you're now closer to the age that person was on the show than when you watched it when you were way younger and they didn't even think about them because they were so much older.
Right.
And I was like, ah, well, that's a little bit of an eye opener. So, I've been doing that. And also, we made jokes. We saw the movie Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
A little bit a while back. Well, there's a new Monster Hunter game, and it's absolutely ridiculous. And I've been playing it, and it's absolutely fun. It's called Monster Hunter Rise. It's on the Nintendo Switch. I'm having a great time hitting giant monsters with giant swords. That's all I'm going to say. So that's been my week. But awesome. Next week, what are we watching?
I think we should watch Vanquish. That's the new I think this is a middle of the road. I hate to be so negative, but I feel like this is one of what I frequently refer to as like a forgettable good movie. Like, I think it looks good and I'm excited to watch it, but I think a year from now we won't remember, you know, whether or not we saw it.
Right. Right. But I'm down. We'll do it. Vanquish.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I'm not trying to be totally negative because it looks like fun, but, you know, there's 200 and some new movies that come out every year. Some of them are going to be in the category of movies you can't remember whether or not you saw it.
Yeah, yeah. So
okay, right. So next week is Morgan Freeman in Vanquish.
Right. Now, we want to thank everyone for coming to the show, joining us once again here. You know, if you want to be a part of the show, the best way to do that is go ahead and email us at podcast@pensinma.com or comment on our Facebook page. You know, we'll see those. We'll read them. And, you know, even though some people don't like you making fun of them, we'll still read it. You know, even if you want to make fun of them, no big deal.
I think I'm clear this week.
Yeah. Well, you don't. But we're going to get a lot of emails about how my segment wasn't nearly as funny as last time. That's going to be the number one email. So
I think the number one email is people sending in soup recipes for you to stir with your hand.
But everything's going to taste like corn chowder because, I mean, there's always some residue. You know? So, all right. Well, that's the best way to be a part of the show. But if you want to support the show, what's the number one way people can do that, Penn?
Well, the number one way people can do that is to tell a friend.
You're right.
But there's also been some activity. No, that's not the right word. There's been some. It's a movement.
Oh.
There's movement afoot. There's a movement afoot. I don't know if you were downtown earlier. If you saw the march.
I heard about it.
Yeah, there was a march for the Penn Cinema podcast, and what people are doing is they're contacting all their local officials. So you know, Lloyd Smucker, Senator Toomey, Governor Wolf, you contact your local official, and what people are marching for, what they're raising awareness for, is to have National Penn Cinema Podcast Day.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's about time.
That's what you want to do. You want to be a part of that movement, you know, and put the bumper sticker on your car and that kind of stuff. And, you know, I think if we can continue to bring awareness to the absence of National Penn Cinema Podcast Day, then, I mean, that's a critical issue.
I mean, if our forefathers fought and died for anything, it was this.
Right. If they fought and died for anything, it was for National Penn Cinema Podcast Day. Right?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
You know, I'm going to take this on as a personal challenge. I think you can contact your representative and get a flag flown over the Capitol for your own personal, like, milestone. I'm going to see how many episodes, what are we at, 116?
Yeah.
I'm going to try to get our 120th episode celebrated by flying a flag over the United States Capitol.
Please, please.
What, David, name me one thing, podcast at Penn Cinema, if you can name one thing more American than the Penn Cinema podcast.
I can't. I don't think I ever could. I can't even list half a thing more American, let alone one.
You're going to come up with something and I'm going to be like, nah, that's Canadian. Everybody knows that. That's why they drew that line across the top of North America to keep that shit up north.
Up above us.
Yeah. They were like, no, bro. Nah. We don't want any part of that.
keep
your toques and your Canadian bacon, which is just ham, and you keep that shit up north. We're on to you.
Well, on that note, once again for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Ted Ketchum.
Take care.
Take care. And
party on.
Party on.
's for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.